Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 272. This is the thin edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, because that's pretty much how I feel right now. I don't know if you've ever felt that particular feeling where you just not necessarily been stretched and beaten too thin, but it's just there's so much going on, there's so many things that you have had to do over the past couple of days, weeks, whatever, that you just don't seem to be hitting the ground with all four legs at any given point in time. I don't even know where I was supposed to be going with that reference. Well, I'd like to say hello and welcome to everybody. This is the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of tunes and tech, coffee, and all things caffeine. You can find this over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for all of those of you who cannot spell, and me who cannot talk today, apparently. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, are over at techpodcasts.com. They've all agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, so you can head on over there to see other such fine programs. All right, we have a crazy show today, unlike any you've heard yet here on the Caffeination Podcast. There's going to be some other interesting stuff coming down the pike, hopefully, but I needed to kind of find a way to balance out the past couple days and see what I could do to try and produce a moderately interesting show here for you today. For those of you who do not know, PodCamp Philly was actually the past 2 days, today as well. Well, technically not today anymore because I started doing the show on the 4th. It's now the 5th. But PodCamp Philly went off on October 3rd and 4th. It was a pretty big success in most areas. There was one small problem. We're going to be getting to that in a little bit, as well as a little bit of an explanation that you're not going to hear anywhere else, because it is partially, if not entirely, my fault. So hopefully people will be all right with that. All right. There's a lot of great stuff, a lot of fun content that we're going to be talking about here. I'm going to give you a rundown on PodCamp Philly as a whole. We're going to be going into the Geek Cruft section. We have nothing in the food and caffeinated bits except for the fact that I had to be caffeinated beyond belief just to stay up to actually finish the show. So you'll have to excuse me if the show's just a little bit out of sorts and out of whack here. The Caffeination is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues is always going to be important, but business travel is a hassle and often a complete waste of money. You can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. With just a click, you can host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from the comfort of your desk. GoToMeeting is just $49 a month. It allows you to have unlimited online meetings. You can host 5 meetings or 500, all for the same low price. Plus, you get voice over IP and phone conferencing included. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's 1 month of unlimited online meetings for free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for this free trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff. I also did want to make mention that there's a new contest going off over at podcastmadness.com. Run by one Jeffrey Powers of the Geekazine Podcast, this is going to be a fun little contest that they have going on over there. It's for a 1 year subscription to Mosey. Mosey is an internet backup solution so that it allows you to back up files from your computer, the important ones, to a secure offsite location. So if you'd like to get in on that, you can either try the code that we have listed in the blog posting, which is blog simple, by entering it over there, or you could try the super secret code that we have in the podcast itself. If you want to have a second chance to enter, you can actually enter the code DATA as well, D-A-T-A. And that gives you 2 chances to win this. It's going to be kind of fun and cool. Just head on over to podcastmadness.com to see exactly what's going on. All right, so there's going to be a lot of cool things that we have going on here. Hopefully you're going to stick around for later on in the show. I got to say, to say that I've been busy for the last couple days and actually, last like week and a half, 2 weeks, would be a minor understatement in the very least. There's tons of stuff that's been lining up to do, and no small amount has been trying to balance the oncoming onslaught of PodCamp Philly with different things at home and at work. So work's always busy, home's always busy. I still have a half-destroyed house and a wife who does not like that. I really need to get that done. So there might be times when an episode doesn't come out just so I can finish painting the walls, just because I hate having a house like this as well. All right. PodCamp Philly, however, did go off without a hitch for the most part. The only glaring problem was actually my fault. PodCamp Philly did not have free and unlimited wireless for everybody. Everybody seems to, you know, tech people and just people in general love to have access to free wireless. They think it is their God-given right. Here is the problem. When you have access to free wireless, things happen, especially when it's unsecured wireless. There's no way to be sure who's on your network, and as a company, Temple University, needs to know who's on their network. So the way that they limit this access is allowing you to enter in your AccessNet username and password. If you're an employee, student, faculty, anything like that at the university, you have this AccessNet username and password. It's no problem. You enter it in. You are on the Wi-Fi and ready to set to jet. There is a way that they can go about creating courtesy accounts for people who are coming there. That would mean that for the 217 people who actually got to PodCamp, there would have to be 217 individual accounts created. In the haste to trying to get everything done for the Temple University end, that is verifying that the rooms and everything were going to be open, verifying that the food was going to be delivered on Saturday morning, verifying that the tables were going to be delivered, verifying all of this stuff and trying to make sure that it was all going off without a hitch, most of which came together in the last week because PodCamp Philly, as of a month ago, only had 66 people registered, and in the last 10 days, over 150 people registered. So that's kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of the scope of the last-minute stuff that had to get done. So, with all that happening, I made a couple calls to get the courtesy accounts done. Unfortunately, I didn't make the second call to verify that this could actually be done in a timely manner, and I didn't get a hold of the gentleman who has the ability to do it until Friday afternoon at the 3 o'clock almost, and he very nicely created 35 accounts for me and had one of his student workers literally bike from Center City, where he was, all the way up to my office and hand-deliver the accounts. So those accounts were for the presenters and the sponsors, and I am incredibly sorry to everybody else who did not get an account, but hopefully we're going to try and work that out next year. I'm just going to shoot for a much larger number if they'll still allow us to do it and get up there. That is, if it comes back to Temple University. Who knows? It's not tied to any one location. But that out of the way, and hopefully I'm not going to be drawn and quartered in the social media space. I just wanted to kind of be completely transparent about what happened. I should have been checking up on things, and that was my fault. All right, moving right along to PodCamp Philly as a whole. My original session, which was graphic design basics, we went over logos and colors, I think went off without a hitch. I had roughly 35 to 40 people in the room, and I got to tell you, it was really fun. There was a lot of good dialogue, a lot of good questions. I did record the audio, and I haven't checked it out. I also had the lovely surprise of having Keith Albright from the Mind of Root podcast actually live stream it over his EVDO card. So I think it was he had a tethered BlackBerry. I'm not sure if it was EVDO, but he had a tethered BlackBerry, and he live-streamed it to Ustream. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes up to that version. The only problem is you can't see the screen, and when you're doing a graphic design thing, it's kind of hard to do it without being able to see the screen. That's not Keith's fault. It's projectors are kind of hard to capture on camera. So I am going to actually be, if the audio is bad, I'm going to be recording a new version of it and putting it up in kind of like a movie format, where I'm going to have the slides up there and hopefully do a little bit of animation. That's if I can get that up and done. Then the other fun thing about PodCamp's, PodCamp's kind of an amorphous subject. It allows different things to kind of move around and different topics to shift and change all the time. So after I got done my session, I went to another session. Then I had lunch, and then when one of my good friends from social media space, podcast Steve Lubetkin, and I were walking through the hallway about to go to another session, we had a frantic friend come up to us and say, "Hey, there's like 35, 40 people in this room, all waiting for a session to start, and the person's not here. Do you think you could speak on it?" And we looked at each other and said, "Sure, we can speak on pretty much anything, but what is it?" So it turned out it was ways to leverage social media into building your site with content. So we walked in there, we asked people what they wanted to do. I recorded that session as well, and I think we did a pretty good job. There was a lot of good question and answer, and PodCamp is ruled by the law of 2 feet. Basically, if you don't like what you're hearing, you walk out. Only a couple people did, and then we had a lot more filter in the back end, and I gotta say, the overall question was really, questions and answer period was really good. And the fun thing about PodCamp Philly this year is over 80% of the people who attended were actually newbies. They had actually either never attended a PodCamp before or never had started a podcast or anything like that. So there was a really good attendance in the introductory classes, which is great. That's probably the area that I really enjoy the most. So if you're listening to this podcast and you were in one of those sessions, even one of the sessions where Steve and I stepped in to kind of tap dance for you, as Steve said, then hopefully you'll stick around for other episodes after this. And who knows, you might even hear your question on the a future episode. All right. The next session that happened is Steve and I were sitting there. We talked to everybody about social media and how you could try and find different ways where people were talking about your topics and how to direct your content to which network. And then the funny thing happened. The person who was hosting the session about starting a blog, what they called the new blog, they didn't show up either, and they were in the same room. So Steve and I once again attempted to fill that in on doing blog basics, where we basically said, you know, this is how you do it, this is the different ins and outs, did you have any questions? That, I think, is the most valuable aspect of any PodCamp. It's where you can it's really, really informal, so you can move from one topic to another, you can ask all the different questions, and people 9 times out of 10 are either knowledgeable enough to answer the question themselves, or there's somebody else in the room who they can point you to. It's a very friendly atmosphere. It's a very worry-free zone when you don't have to worry about sounding stupid. So I even got to talk about the Adopt-a-Noob celebration that I did. So I might be doing an Adopt-a-Noob celebration kickoff next year at PodCamp. I don't know, because there were a lot of people who were really enthused about it, and I might have to talk to a couple of the other organizers, see if we can get something going for that. All right, the next thing that happened after that was actually something called Pecha Kucha. Now, for those of you who don't know what Pecha Kucha is, which I'm sure there's probably a lot of you, Pecha Kucha is a presentation style that was developed in Japan by a bunch of architecture firms that would get together, and they kind of railed against the common problem of architects going long with presentations and kind of running on and not really having any kind of form or function to how it was working. So they kind of cut it down to brass tacks. They said, you have one key concept that you're trying to push forward. This one key concept has to be done, illustrated through a series of 20 slides, auto-advanced after 20 seconds. And if you're doing traditional Pecha Kucha, you design and hone and craft your slides, and you put it up there, and you try and give your presentation. I gave a presentation called Learning from Stupid. The funny thing is, since I used stock images for one of the slides, I actually couldn't remember what the slide was about. Since it was the first time I was doing it, that is my Learning from Stupid moment that I should probably practice a lot more before I end up trying it again. But I really liked the presentation. I might end, and that's the only one, unfortunately, that I didn't record. I have to see if anybody else did. But even if they didn't, I'm thinking of redoing it with better results via like SlideShare or some kind of movie software, because I really liked it. So the idea behind it is learning from stupid, taking the scenic road to knowledge. You didn't find ways that didn't work. You found you have to hone in on that one way that does. So you have to learn from all your mistakes and share your mistakes with others so that they can learn as well. Which is one of the reasons that I'm kind of telling you about all the goofy things that happened and the funny things. About the fact that I said learning from stupid, and then the fact that I didn't practice enough to not screw up that presentation. All right, everything was tagged PCPHILLY3, PodCamp Philly 3. So if you did anything, if you took any pictures and you're going to put them up there, please tag it with that. And just remember, everything is a learning experience, whether it's doing a podcast, even episode number 360 or 72, everything that you're doing is a learning experience. Every PodCamp that we produce gets a little bit better than the last one, so hopefully we've crafted a interesting experience for the people who went, so that next year, should it happen again, will it, when things, you know, roll around and people start talking about what the, you know, PodCamp Philly 4, PodCamp 2010 is going to be about, that all the different little niggles that went wrong or all the things that they really, really liked about this one are really going to kind of come to the forefront, and you're going to get to see a better version of the product than next year. For instance, the first year was kind of rough around the edges. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Last year, a little bit better still. And this year, I think a little bit better beyond that. So, all right, that about wraps up the PodCamp Philly rundown. I am going to be pushing a couple of the presentations and stuff into the stream. I don't know if I'm going to be using them as episodes yet. I have to really check the quality of the audio. I haven't done anything yet. The card's full, lots of stuff, lots of content, so it's going to be fun. All right, moving right on into the GeekCraft section. I do have to tell you, there is a bunch of fun stuff that you can find over on our website, caffeination.com. You can also dial our voice number at 215-240-1319 or use the Google Voice call-in widget to comment on the show, and we'll play your audio comment only if you want us to. So I just wanted to kind of push it out there because I had a couple people requesting for the number, so I'm not sure if anybody's actually going to leave an audio comment. But the fun thing is, if you use the Call Me widget, I believe Google will actually connect you for free, and you can even hide your phone number. If you don't want me knowing your phone number, no problems, no worries. You click on it, and you say, keep my number private. So it's just between you and Google that you called. All right. Moving on into the GeekCraft section, a little bit short, a little bit truncated as the case may be. Women apparently rule the social web. There is a lovely website called informationisbeautiful.net where they take different nebulous concepts, different bits of statistical data, and they work them into infographics. Now, I love infographics, be it from information architects.jp or anywhere. I really think that it's probably one of my favorite areas of cognitive science is probably the way to take very nebulous, very stat-laden topics and push them into a simple graphical format that's easy to understand. So this is a great website for anybody. But this is it says, who rules the social web? Basically talking about the populations of the different social networks that are out there, from LinkedIn, YouTube, DeviantArt, and Delicious, are all approximately 50-50 male-female. However, they noticed that most of the other networks that are out there, Hi5, Flickr, FriendFeed, Twitter, Facebook, Ning, Gaia, Classmates, MySpace, BuzzNet, Tagged, and Bebo, are all much more woman-centric. There's a larger component of women in them, anywhere from 54% in Hi5 up to Bebo, which is 68%. Dig, on the other hand, was the lone statistical outlier, being Dig is 64% male. So it's kind of fun and kind of interesting. I tend to take statistics like this at their face value. Unfortunately, CNET News does not do that. There's a blog that they have up there called Technically Incorrect. It says, why women dominate social networking. Now, the gentleman who's writing the article, Chris, actually starts out pretty good. It says that, you know, he says certain things which are right. He says that women create social media because they're naturally social creatures. And he says that might be why that you end up seeing it that way. He says here, it says, one might also conclude that women simply resort to more virtual contact because their real-world physical everyday lives leaves them rather more dissatisfied than it does men. Now, the problem with infographics, the problems with statistics in general, they're lies, they're damn lies, and then they're statistics. Mark Twain, it's that you start to see people make these logical assumptions, and they kind of push their own ideas and their own agendas into whatever they see. I would say that it's not because they're more dissatisfied. I would say women in general are better at social networking than men. They understand the intricacies of not irritating people through conversation. Not to say that men can't do that, but I'm saying that, you know, women in general are much better at it. So that's probably why you might see the statistical outliers lying that way. However, I will say that there are a large number of fake accounts, and the fake accounts are traditionally female because they're trying to get males to click on spam. So, depending on where you think those fake accounts may be, that might skew the numbers one way or another. I'm not sure about the overall percentage of people online, male versus female, because anytime you get a statistical cross-section on anything, you really have to kind of question exactly where did the numbers come from. So, the good thing about Information is Beautiful as they tell you. The bad thing about the CNET blog is that he kind of puts his own little spin on it, and I don't think it's in any way flattering to anybody he covers. But all right, moving right along. Next little thing, we have an article from over at totallycooltech.com. Our friend Norbert Davis wrote an article. I had not heard the news, but apparently the Verizon Hub is no more. I know a lot of people who are actually kind of interested in this. I'm personally really glad that they're taking this idea out, because it was... it's an internet kiosk for your kitchen. or for wherever it is. And the thing is that the price point on top of your current bill seemed to stretch it more to being like a smartphone. So it was like $35 extra on top of your bill just to have this unit in your house. The unit itself was anywhere from $200 to $250. So it was basically a very, very simple web-only kiosk for your house. I liked the general idea, but I think that most people have mobile phones, most people have laptops, and that market that they were trying to serve would have been much better... and would have been much better played around with maybe 5 years ago. So thank you very much, Norbert, for bringing that to my attention. I kind of thought that was pretty cool. Next little thing I have up here, completely unrelated. There's a T-Rex for sale. Apparently it's been for sale for a while. It's named Samson. I wonder if it has a giant collar with a little dog tag. There was a recent auction in Las Vegas, and they were trying to get $6 million. Unfortunately, they only got $3.7 million, and the only thing that I could think about was Shel Silverstein's poem about a sister for sale. My sister and I actually both really, really love Shel Silverstein. My son is learning to love Shel Silverstein now. And the only thing I could think of when I'm looking at thinking of the idea of selling a Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton is won't anyone buy this old T-Rex for sale, this lying and crying old T-Rex for sale? So my apologies to Shel Silverstein. His poem is really hilarious, especially for an older brother with a younger sister. And it's the poem goes generally like this. I'm probably going to butcher it because I don't have the book with me. And my son's asleep where the book is. It says, won't anyone buy this old sister for sale, my lying and crying young sister for sale? Oh, isn't there a dollar, a nickel, a penny? Oh, isn't there anyone who will buy this old sister for sale, this lying and crying young sister for sale? It's somewhere very close to what I just said, but you get the idea. There's really good good tonality through it. It has a really good kind of a flow through the poem, so hopefully you'll find some Shel Silverstein stuff and you'll play around with it. He's also the man who wrote The Boy Named Sue for Johnny Cash and The Giving Tree, so he has a whole wide pantheon of stuff. He is considered one of the most interesting Renaissance men of the 20th century, so you really owe it to yourself to read some of his stuff anyway. Alright, moving right along to Drew, at Drew on Twitter, of Blame Drew's Cancer. Yes, Drew Olenoff, also one of the original one of the original organizers of PodCamp Philly until he moved on to other things, actually is trying to auction off his at Drew username for charity. Now, four letter usernames on Twitter are pretty rare. So I'm pretty sure that not very many people out there have their name at Twitter. In fact, there was a lot of discussion at Temple on who had, first name at temple.edu. I don't have Paul at temple.edu. In computer services alone, I think there's like 8 Pauls. Paul's was never any more popular than the 43rd most popular name in the United States, so I have no clue how we have such a large abundance of Pauls actually at Temple University, not only at Temple University in general, but actually in the computer services department, but that's beyond the point. So if you'd actually like to figure out how you can bid on that, you can head on over to the article on Mashable, but the problem is you're going to be bidding against one Drew Carey, who recently bid $25,000 for charity. It's going to the Live Strong Foundation. It's a charity that's obviously near and dear to Drew's heart, because Drew was recently diagnosed with cancer, so he started Blames Drew's Cancer. I think we've talked about that before. But Drew Carey also said that if he gets 100,000 followers on his Twitter account, which is Drew from TV, by November 9th, then he will up his bid to 100,000. So you have two options here. First of all, if you would like the at Drew username, then you probably don't want Drew Carey to get up to 100,000 followers, because then you're going to have to beat that bid. But right now, the bid is $25,000. Got to say, this is really cool to see celebrities coming out for a charity like this. And it's really also really neat that Drew's auctioning off his username, I think, anyway. Next little thing we have up for you here is, do audio geeks dream of electric sheep, or do they just want correctly EQ'd audio to listen to? You can get a diesel turntable and analog audio gear bedding. I think this is hilarious. You can get pillowcases that look like turntables and little mixing boards off to the side, and then the actual comforter that's on it. I gotta tell you, if I ever get a a guest bed or something like that in the basement down here, down in the caffeination lair, this is what the sheets are going to look like. The sheets look like probably, it's actually like two copied dub racks, but of the most confusing and interesting and intricate little setup of dub racks. There's all kinds of different EQ meters. There's actually a reel-to-reel tape on there. There's all kinds of things that I can't really pick out on there, but it looks just awesome. I need somebody to do this except for like the panel from ENIAC. That would be perfect. Of course, I have a wife and I would never actually get that onto our bed because it doesn't look nice and pretty, but I think it looks awesome. So it has to have some place in the house, and the layer is mine. All right, that about wraps up the... Wait, one more thing. It doesn't have a link to it, but dearest Firefox, what happened to you? Gotta tell you, every time I've gone to create a show, Firefox has crashed on me in the past month. I have moved over to Google Chrome because it uses a significantly smaller chunk of my memory, and I've heard story and story again from people on Twitter and other places where this is true for them as well. So I don't know what happened to Firefox, whether it's all the bug fixes, the features, everything that they try and cram into one release, but they are now becoming almost as unusable as Internet Explorer itself. Now, if I could ever find the Google or the Xmarks bookmark sync tool for Google Chrome, I would be ecstatic. That is the only thing that keeps me using Firefox, the fact that I can bookmark something at home and have it bookmarked in work, or vice versa, or also do it on the laptop. Between Xmarks and Get Dropbox, I'm pretty much lead a synchronized life between my different computing environments. So I can't give that up yet, but I gotta tell you, for production purposes, Google Chrome beats Firefox hands down around here. All right, moving right along to the food and caffeinated bits. There is none. I have a batch of coffee and coffee gadgets arriving tomorrow from Sweet Maria's, so I might do some awesome stuff with that. And the only other question I have was, what type of coffee geek are you? Are you like me, where you really enjoy the fine things, you like the good coffee that's out there, but you don't mind having instant every once in a while, or you don't mind having like a can of Folgers or Chock Full of Nuts or something like that, or have your taste buds evolved to the point where diner coffee no longer holds any kind of sway for you? Or are you the opposite? You think all the frou-frou coffees are ridiculous? Or are you the unspoken majority out there and you enjoy flavored coffees? I personally can't drink them anymore. Ever since I started drinking good coffee, when I say, oh yeah, this coffee had notes of berry in it, they're like, oh yeah, have you tried the new strawberry cream? I'm like, no, it's completely unlike what you're thinking. Those flavors inside coffee completely taste foreign to me. They taste very chemical. And I can't drink them anymore. I used to enjoy a good hazelnut XYZ every once in a while, but it's just, I can't do it anymore. It doesn't taste right. So I'm just curious as to what kind of people we got out there. So just, you know, email me, comment on the podcast, do whatever it is you will. So I'd like to thank you for sticking around through this strange episode. There might be a couple other strange ones coming up, but we're hoping to get back to brass tacks, get back to simple stuff. Now I gotta get to bed because this is getting pretty ridiculous. I don't know when I got my sixth or seventh wind for the day, but it's been crazy around here, gotta tell you. So thank you so much for listening. This has been Caffeination, episode number 272. Or actually, no, that was 100 episodes ago. This has been Caffeination, episode number 372. I'm starting to lose track of these episodes around here. It's a huge number. It's a big accomplishment, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without everybody who listens to the show. So thank you ever so much for giving me your time. If you're looking for this show or any other episodic friends that it has, they're all lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. You can email me comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. You can call our listener hotline at 215-240-1319, at Caffeination on Twitter, and pretty much everything else that's out there. Thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.